Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hey, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And we want to welcome you to part two.
Part two.
Uh-huh.
Everybody knows how to quote this verse, "Judge not that you be not judged."
Right.
You know, yeah. We can quote that so good, but they forget to read the rest of that chapter because it doesn't tell you on judgment. It doesn't say that you shouldn't make a judgment call on people. What it says is don't take the law into your own hands.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to be wise as serpents right. And harmless as doves. And we need to be wise in our decision making, especially in choosing our friends. It just makes an easy way to figure out how to choose
Very
friends
cool.
And your friends become one of your greatest assets in life.
Right. Exactly. And we do need assets. That's for sure.
We do.
Well,
I
am so excited about this sermon. And let's go in. Let's have some Cowboy Church. We hope that you really, really benefit from what Russ is going to talk about today.
This is a song that I love so much. I'd like for us just to be in an attitude of prayer and worship of the Lord, because it tells of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross at Calvary. Holy Heart. The Holy Heart was broken, sent from the Father's side, the Son of God forsaken, the holy sacrifice. The Lamb of God was stricken, abandoned and alone. He bore the world's affliction, he bore it as his own. For me he was forsaken, for me he died alone. My sin forever taken, that I might be his own.
For me, he was.
own. Thank you for being here. I want to tell you and encourage you that no matter who leaves you, who is around you, who forsakes you, that God says He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And I want you to know you are never, ever alone. May the angels protect you, troubles neglect you, and heaven accept you when it's time to go home. When hard times have found you, your fears surround you, wrap my love around you, you're never alone. May your fear filled with gladness, your heart filled with gladness, and everywhere passing, they mean more than gold. When you end, but stay humble, smile more than grumble, and know when you stumble, you're never alone. Never alone, never alone. I'll be in every beat of your heart when you face the unknown. Wherever as I want it, I'm not gonna promise the cold winds won't blow. So when hard times have found you, your fears surround you, wrap my love around you, you're never alone. Never. May the angels protect you, troubles neglect you, and heaven accept you when it's time to go home. When hard times have found you, your fears surround you, wrap my love around you, you're never alone. Never alone.
Unleavened bread and Passover were closely connected. The unleavened bread is what they ate the night before they left Egypt. And then that night they had the sacrificial lamb at each house. And they took the blood from the sacrificial lamb that they cooked and ate. They took the blood from that lamb and they put it over the doorpost of their house. And when the death angel came by and he saw the blood over the doorpost, then he would pass by. Instead of involving the curse that God had commanded to be used for the Egyptians, but the curse was to the firstborn of all the people where it was to be killed. When the blood was over there, then the death angel would just pass by and nothing was done to that house. the house actually end up being involved in blessings instead of cursing because of the blood. And that blood represents Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. So at Hezekiah, he started with the unleavened bread and 14 days later went into the festival that celebrates the Passover when the angel passed over. So they had him a great celebration during that time. And it took a leader that Hezekiah was the king whom he had to make a determination to basically just bring upheaval to the whole nation. The whole nation was involved in idolatry, and he began to take all of the ugly things and the idolatry away so that people couldn't be involved in it. You know what? I'll tell you this little deal about temptation. James has it perfectly. He talks about there are two items that have to happen in order for temptation to happen. Number one, there has to be a weak person. And number two, there has to be an opportunity. So if you remove opportunities, you can remove temptation. That's a good act for your parents to remember that if you want your kids not to be tempted to do something wrong, set their phone up so they can't. Put parameters around them so that they won't be involved. Don't let people have access to them that will do ugly things to them. I mean, take away the temptation by taking away the thing that it brings it. Then the second thing is work on your kid so that if that stuff does happen, your kid knows what is right and wrong. So there's two ways to fix temptation. One is remove it. And the other one is by God's help, teach the kid how to deal with it. So the removal, what Hezekiah is doing is he's removing all the temptations to sin. He's removing the objects of sin. He's removing the things out of the neighborhood that would cause us to sin. He's tearing down the beer joints. He's cleaning up he's bringing holiness to the place. And people don't like it. I'm telling you, people don't like it when you start talking. Our life is supposed to be a holy life. Anyway, he was not well liked for a while. In fact, the Bible says, if you read into this story, that when they started going out to invite everybody there, everybody started laughing at the people who sent the message. They started making fun of them because they were set in their ways, and they started talking bad about them on Facebook, and you know what I mean. They made fun of him, but he's saying, no, look, our God is holy. And if we're going to worship him, we must worship him in spirit and in truth. And God expects us to do our part to bring about his holiness in our life. And it's important. So the unleavened bread is about getting the sin out. And he says, I'll demonstrate it because I'm removing the idols. I'm removing all the places that you can be tempted to sin. I'm taking them out. Now we have to deal with you and your life. And so it bled over into the thing that really makes a difference in our decision-making process. And it has to do with the Passover. So Hezekiah removed, here's the things he removed, the idols, the pagan altars, the incense altars, the shrines. He took the garbage or the defilements. The Bible says that the place of worship, God's holy place, had become a place of defilement. And what that means is it became a garbage dump. And Hezekiah was a lot like them. He noticed the defilements and he said, we're cleaning this place up. He sent the priest in. He says, I want you, he said, got a hold of the pastor and says, your job in this thing is I want you to clean out the Holy of Holies, and I want you to replace the instruments that we need in order to reinstall the sacrifices. I want you to get this place cleaned up. I want it functional. I want it operating, and I want it done the second week of the second month, the 14th day of the second month, and you be ready. And I want you to go through the process of sanctification. I want you to go through the cleansing process. I want you to be ready because we're offering sacrifices and we're reinstating God's plan for the nation, and we're not allowing the enemy to rule this thing any longer. And he did it. Woo, it's good stuff. He cleaned out the defilements. And he cleaned up the sinful images. He purified the priests, the Levites, the people, the temple, the courtyards, the holy place, and the altar. All that can be said about is that is what holiness is. Clean it up, purify it, get their hearts right, and get them to where they can actually understand, believe, and function as people who allow God's blessings to walk and rule in them. Yes. Then they went to the Passover. This is what Hezekiah reinstated. See, the thing about it is, you can't start knocking things and taking things out and criticizing things unless you get something to put back in there. Because what that is called is not holiness. That is, it's legalism. And we don't want to go into legalism. This has to be a passion before God that God, we're in covenant with God. Without God's help, it turns into legalism. You know, when I was a kid, there was a lot of churches that were around us that their theme was, we don't drink and we don't chew and we don't go with the girls that do. I mean, it's just, it's legalism. But man, holiness has to do with replacing the things that God wants in our lives and taking away the things that destroy and take away God's blessings out of our lives. And it's a covenant process of getting that done. It's not just about putting your name on the line and getting saved and say, I got it. It's about entering into covenant and being functional as a man and woman of God. Well, I talked with my brother this week. He came down, and I love my brother. He's got such a simple, profound wisdom. He said, I was talking to my people the other day, his church, and he said, you know, this is not your church. He said, no, it's not your church. Because when you make it your church, then it's about you. He said, it's not your church, it's God's church. And when you don't understand that it's God's church, you don't come in here and go, well, this doesn't fit me. This doesn't mean me. He said, it's about you then. He said, what you do is you come in and say, hey, this is God's church, and I will give my will up to God's will. And when we give our will up to God's will, there's certain things that begin to happen. It's not about me. I get to be the pastor. But it's not my church, it's God's church. I feel like I serve as pastor of this church. I serve God by being pastor of this church. But it's not my church, it's His church. And when we come in, you say, well, this is my church. Now, I do understand the loyalty that goes with that. That's really nice. I appreciate that. But in identity, we need to begin to think and function as this is God's church. God allows me to come to church and be a part of this, and we have a tremendous body of believers. We get to be a part of it, but when it becomes our church instead of God's church, then we're going to make it something that it's not supposed to be. It's going to turn into nothing more than a highlighted, that's a good word. I wish I knew what it meant. It's going to turn into an extravagant country club atmosphere. It's not a country club, it's a church. And it's not our church, it's God's church. So we come in here to offer sacrifices, and we say, whoa, sacrifices stopped. Oh, yeah? Yeah? Well, I'm going to tell you a little something. Those of you who have children, let me see your hands. How many of you have children? How many of you understand that there is a sacrifice that happens when you start raising kids? Yeah. You sacrifice sleep to start with. And then you sacrifice your time after that. And then you sacrifice money. And then you sacrifice, yeah, man, it, being a parent is a sacrifice. And what it is you're giving up yourself to pour into somebody else who God has given you responsibility over. Yeah. And there are sacrifices, and sacrifices will never happen until I die to myself and give it to God. Jesus is a sacrifice for our sins. I become a sacrifice to myself so that I can fulfill what God has planned. And here's what happens when you become a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Sacrifice here nowadays is about service. Here's what happens when we become a living sacrifice. And some of you are not going to like this, but it's really true. And if you can find the truth in it and begin to function in it, it will help you. Temperamental, oh, be careful, is about you. Easily offended is about you. Or if you're doing it, it's about me. I can be offended. I can. But you know what happens when I get offended? I have learned that keep your little mouth shut, because offense is a terrible, satanic thing that will destroy you and people around you. So I go to God and I allow God to help me be a living sacrifice and keep my mouth shut and take it and turn out and let God do in me what God needs to do. If you have to have pats on the back in order to do your job in the church, you don't understand what it means to be a sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. It's your reasonable service. You know, yeah, Pat Anna said, but keep trying, keep trying. We're not trying to run anybody off. We're trying to give us a perspective, a perspective. When you get the right respect perspective on life, then people don't get offended. Nobody's trying to hurt anybody's feelings ever. But people get their feelings hurt over the most stupid, ridiculous things. And the devil himself makes sure that you can be offended every day. You just have to, I tell people now, they say, I don't mean to offend you. And I just got to where I say this to them. I said, look, you can't offend me because I'm not going to live in offense. I'm not going to let my life lower to that level. You can't offend me. And if you're trying to offend me, you got to tell me that's what you're trying to do and let me try to talk you out of it. Because it's not going to work. You can live above offense. You hear me? You can live above offense. And the way that you do is when your life becomes a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God as your reasonable service, you will stop getting offended. It's good stuff. And you know what happens? You know what happens when you stop getting offended? The devil has no place in your life or in this church, and it allows God to do things. Look how this ends. You're going to love this next verse. 2 Chronicles 31:21. Hezekiah sought God wholeheartedly. As a result, he was very successful. Huh. How about, who would have thunk it? Who would have thought this? He sought God wholeheartedly. As a result, he was very successful. Now, guys, sometimes you need to rearrange what successful is. Successful is this. God, before he ever created you, came up with a plan. And that plan was you. Now, he gave you a choice. You can choose it, or you can choose not to be involved in it. But God has a plan, and successful people are the ones who find out why in the world God created them and begin to function in that plan. Hezekiah, as a result, he was successful.